Who is Jesus? This is one of the most important questions one could ever ask. Who Jesus is reveals God's purpose for mankind. If someone asked us this question, what would we say to them? What would we have to tell them? Would they even believe us if we told them? Oftentimes, we may later find out that the people of the world had already formed an opinion on Jesus, God, and even religion as a whole based on the lifestyle and actions of those claiming to be his disciples. That means before we even say a word to someone about Jesus, they may have already made a judgment about him through us. We never want our verbal knowledge of Jesus to be hindered by an example that is not of him, because the people in the world may not know that there's a difference. The Bible clearly shows us we have to know who Jesus is and act upon this knowledge. So what are some things we need to know about Jesus and therefore show about him? When Jesus spoke to Thomas in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And the only way to return to the Father. Can people see a difference in the way that we live? Does the truth that we follow expose the lies that others live by? Can they tell how dead they are in their sins in comparison to how alive we are in Jesus? We have to show this to the world. We have to show them that they need Jesus. And why? Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Savior from sin. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and she, referring to Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That word Jesus in the Greek means Savior. He is the only one that has ever been called the Savior. Anyone who wants to know about Jesus has to know that he is the Savior and why they need him to save them. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why we need him. We have all sinned at some point in our lives and fallen short of the glory of God. But it doesn't end there, because once we fall short of the glory of God, Romans 6 and 23 tells us that the wages of sin, the wages of falling short of the glory of God, is death. And not just a physical death. We understand that we all must die and leave this earth, but it's a spiritual death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And since everyone at some time in their life will have sins deserving of this eternal death, they have to understand that Jesus, who Jesus is their only chance for eternal life, to escape that death. But they can't just come to him any way they want to. To know Jesus is to know that he will only save his people. Do we show the world how much different and better it is to be saved by our lifestyles? Or do they look at us and are not able to even tell a difference between a saved person and a lost person? They need to know that they need him and how to get to him, and we are that example. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men." Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God that dwelled on earth with men. Jesus is the Word of God that was made into flesh. What's so important about that? What do people need to understand about the fact that the Savior came to this earth in the flesh? Word in the Greek means, among several things, motive. Jesus is God's motive. God turned Jesus into a physical example to be placed on this earth. God's motive for our salvation walked on this earth to give us an example of how to be saved. Do others see God's motive, God's reason through us and our lives? Or do we hide our own motives behind the title of Christian, being a Christian? Because there may be people that without our example may never open up this Bible, and they may never notice the difference. God's motive, his reason for Jesus to come to walk on this earth, was to give us an example that we could follow to restore all mankind back to him. Who is Jesus? This was such a great question that Jesus asked it himself. Jesus wanted to know what others thought of him. He asked in Matthew 16 and 13, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In verse 18, he says, "And I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." These verses alone say so many things about Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of Man, and Jesus is the Son of the living God. These terms mean the same thing. The Son of Man doesn't mean that he's the son of a human or of mankind. It simply means that he is the begotten Son, the only begotten Son of God, who was given the face of a man to walk on this earth. Jesus was the man-faced God on earth, God the Father's only begotten Son. But thankfully, God still allows us to be called his children and joint heirs with Christ. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Based on your example as a so-called Christian and follower of God, and therefore a brother and sister of Christ, would anyone think that being a child of God was worth anything? Jesus is the Christ. The word Christ means anointed. In Leviticus 21, verse 10, we see that anointing was a ceremonial process used to appoint high priests to serve in the temple of God. High priests were chosen to make sacrifice for sin to God on the behalf of God's people. Jesus is the high priest. Matthew 16 shows us that he was anointed. But what was he anointed to do? He was anointed to build the church. And he did it as the high priest. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 reads, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building." Jesus is the only high priest, the only one anointed to build the more perfect tabernacle, which we now know to be the church. How did Jesus build it? The Bible tells us that he built it upon his death. Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross, and his life was the foundation that was laid for the church to be built upon. Jesus is the foundation of the church. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, it reads, "Now ye therefore are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God." In verse 20, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone." Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the church. The cornerstone provides strength and stability for the entire building. Are we adding to that building by the way that we live? Or are we taking away from it? Christ is anointed as high priest. If we are Christians, that means to be Christ-like, then we are like the anointed. We are part of that priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 5 tells us that we are lively stones of a spiritual house. We're a part of that building. We are a part of the church if we are followers of God. We're a holy priesthood that offers sacrifices through Jesus toward God. And when we offer those sacrifices through Jesus, that is the means by which they are accepted by God. Who is Jesus? He is our only way to salvation. He is the only way for anyone to get to salvation. But we have to be very careful, and this is not meant to scare anyone. This is wonderful for us to recognize that we, as has been said so many times during this meeting, we are often the only ones, often the only example of Jesus that someone may see. Ever. So if they knew nothing about the Bible, but they believed that you acted just like Jesus, what would they believe about Jesus? Who would Jesus be to them? Would he be someone through you that shows them that they need salvation, that they are lost, but that there is a way to be saved? Or is Jesus to them something that you've proven to them that they don't need, or that they don't want, or that they've already got because you act just the way they do. Since we are the only, or maybe the only example of Jesus that a person may ever have, we never ever want to show anything less than who Jesus is. Thank you.